It gives me great pleasure to be the one that was asked to to introduce our guest pastor today. He's not really a guest. A long, long, long time ago. Let's see, was Eisenhower president then? Yeah, Eisenhower's president then. This traveling preacher came from way out east. He talked kind of funny. What was it, Virginia? Virginia, he came all the way from Virginia to come here, and I remember my dad and the other guys in the church, they had to teach this guy a lot of stuff. Did you ever get the knack down of stoking that coal furnace? I think my dad thought you couldn't even make a good hired man when it came to stoking the coal furnace. Anyway, Gene and Fran came here as young pastors, and they're the first pastors that I remember here as a kid growing up in Bangor Liberty. Or excuse me, at that time it was Bangor, but we'll credit Bangor Liberty. And Gene really did witness to a lot of us, and he's just a great man of God. And I remember Sunday night church, when we used to all go back then, you had memory verses we were supposed to do. And one that I remember I got the prize for was Romans 5:1. Anybody remember that? I do. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yep. Well, I do. And Bess was so excited with Destination Unknown because one time she surprised me. But we had a lot of great times with Gene and Fran, and I don't have Gene's total resume down here, but I know when he left here, they spent at least two terms as missionaries at the Friends Mission in Jamaica, and their kids were like brothers, like sisters to all of us growing up, and Louise was like a second grandma to the girls, and it does warm my heart to introduce as our pastor this morning, Gene Wolfley. And I don't think he'll probably need a microphone.
Bless you, son. Bless you. Psalm 146 begins with the words, "Praise ye the Lord." Psalm 146 ends with the words, "Praise ye the Lord." Psalm 147 begins, "Praise ye the Lord." It ends with, "Praise ye the Lord." 148 says, "Praise ye the Lord." It ends with, "Praise ye the Lord." 149 says, "Praise ye the Lord." The last verse says, "Praise ye the Lord." 150 says, "Praise ye the Lord." It ends with, "Praise ye the Lord." And Psalm 103 says, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." Can you say, "Praise the Lord"? Praise. Amen. Now listen, when I came here, I was young 49 years ago. And I was quieter than I am now. But you know, the Bible says, let us make a joyful noise unto the Lord. My heart is so full this morning, I would ask your indulgence. I know you get out at 11:30. But my gracious, if I couldn't preach an hour, they would kick me out of Jamaica. I mean, you're just getting started after an hour. And I'm not going to do that, but would you let me have my wife come up here and give greetings to you this morning? We just celebrated our 50th anniversary.
I was hoping I was getting out of this morning. But I told Neil while ago, tomorrow is a big anniversary for us. Because 48 years ago tomorrow, our Christine was born while we were here at Bangor. And yes, you were just a tiny little tyke when we were here. And I guess there may be some others there are a lot of you that were a lot younger. And so were we, and I didn't have the white hair, and I was a skinny little thing and all of that. But anyway, we have wonderful memories of being here at Bangor. They were wonderful years. We came here right out of school. We really didn't know anything, hardly. We thought we were prepared to be pastors, but we were soon taught by the Bangor people really how to pastor a church. You were wonderful in helping us. And so it's good to be back here. It's good to see so many of you that we recognize your faces, and perhaps we'll get a chance to visit afterwards. God bless.
I would ask somebody, please, to get me some water. Several of you have asked how we are. One of the reasons we came back from Jamaica is because of our health. I only have 50% of my lungs because of asbestos. But I'm doing well. And I just had a biopsy that was benign. And so we're ready to go again. And we're believing God for that these are the best years of our life. Because many years ago, when I first got saved, I learned a verse of Scripture. And it has been the verse for my life. I almost preached on it this morning, but I have something else in my heart. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will," what? "Direct your path." God has directed our path since we were saved in 1954. And the Sunday after I was saved, I preached my first message in Christian Endeavor. And three people got saved. And my heart from that day on had a heart for God. And my desire was that men and women may know Him, whom to know aright is life everlasting. And I know whom I have believed, for I am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I come to you as a man that believes that God is still God. God is still God. Jeremiah said, "Obey me and let me do for you the wonderful things I've planned." God has a wonderful plan for your life if you'll just let Him be God. Just say that. Let Him be God. I think I'm going to share what God laid on my heart early, and I am a firm believer in letting God be God in my life. Now, one of the verses that I learned many years ago, and so when I stand up to preach, I don't worry about what I'm going to say. My biggest problem is what not to say. Because after 53 years of preaching, you can appreciate that there are thousands of stories going on in my mind. But I prayed a prayer many years ago. I was preaching in Trinidad. We preached 89 times in, 35 or 40 days. We had three services every night, and it was wonderful. But before I would go in to preach, I would meet with the pastors, and we'd have prayer together. And I would say, "Oh God, if I never get to preach again, just anoint me one more time." So I was preaching. And I got ready to preach, and I started singing. Now, Neil, I thought you'd sing The Builder this morning. But have you ever heard the song, "In His Time"? Do you know that song? Can you play that? "In His Time." How many know that? "In His Time. In His Time. God does all things beautiful in His time." Now, listen, your pastor can take over when I leave. This is my last chance. Probably never be here again. I don't know. So I'm going to say what's on my heart, okay? All right. In His time, in His time, God makes all things beautiful. In His time, Lord, my life to You I bring. Made song I have to sing. Be to You a lovely thing in Your time. One more time. One more time. Lord, I ask for Your anointing one more time. For I want Your grace to show and the world Your word to know. So I ask for Your anointing one more time. The Word of God says, my sheep know my voice. How many of you have a radio? How many of you have AM and FM? Now, I know that Ray is a very intelligent young man. Now, Ray, you have AM and FM on your radio? Can you play them both at the same time? I thought you said it was your radio. You can do anything. It's your radio. You ought to be able to do anything with your radio that you want to know. You do. Don't you think that's right? Why can't you play AM and FM at the same time if it's there? What do you have to do? You have to make a choice. You have to make a decision. And I've made this decision in my life. My mind is switched on to the Lord. I listen to His voice. I don't listen to the enemy. My voice comes from God. And all you have to do to allow God to direct your path is to listen to Him. Now, I want you to understand something. Little children in Jamaica, from the time they go to school when they're 4 and 5 years of age, they walk to school every day. Now, how many of you can even imagine your child walking along Highway 30 every day to school and every day back home? How would you feel as a mother? You'd be scared to death. But these children do it every day in Jamaica. They go. It's a major highway that goes around the island. There's only one major road that goes clear around the island. And those children walk to school, and they don't have shoulders to walk on. They're walking on the main part of the road. And they'll walk two or three beside each other. Cars zooming past, trucks zooming past. But you know what they learn? Those children, from the time they're little, walk together, and they build lifetime friendships over the years. I just preached to the alumni of the Happy Grove School that we were chaplain of in 1963. And every year they come to the Worthington meeting for an alumni day. And I asked him, how many of you built lifelong friendships during those years? And every one of them raised their hand. But you see, there's something if you're going to walk with somebody. You see, the Bible says Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. And if you're going to walk with somebody, you've got to go in the same direction. You understand that? He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understandings in all your ways. Acknowledge Him and He will what? Direct your path. You see, we're all going somewhere. But who is directing you? You see, that's the whole point of being a child of God, is allowing God to direct your path. Oh, we all have decisions we have to make. We've heard it for years and years and years. We remember the late Billy Graham. His wife just recently died. But he had this program called The Hour of Decision. He was getting people to make a decision on who was going to direct their life. And he allowed God to come into his life as a young man, and he directs his path. The thing as a child, as a young person, even though some of you may be older, if you've never allowed him to step into your life and give you the direction for your life, you need to do it now. You see, my brother died a few years ago. My mother died on a Saturday. My brother died the next Saturday. I talked to his wife on the 4th of July. And she said, Gene, you need to do things together now. Don't put it off. Bill and I thought we'd do so many things when we retired. But he said after he retired, he was on a kidney dialysis, and we never got to do those things. You see, many of us, we've never made the decision to walk with God and to allow Him to direct our path. And so that's the first decision that we have to make. You have to decide that in your life. You have to make that choice. You need to tune in to listen to His voice. I'll never forget. I was in a meeting one time and somebody gave a message and somebody said, "Do you really believe that's of God?" I looked at him. I said, "Don't you know? Can't you tell? Who are you listening to?" Oh, it's so interesting when you learn to listen to God. You know, the Bible says to be still and know that I am God. You remember the song we used to sing at camp years ago? Linger a little longer when you kneel to pray. Don't be in such a hurry to go your way. Listen. Listen. He has something to say. Linger a little longer when you pray. You see, that's one of the things that we believe as friends. That's what it means to enter into a time of worship. It's not what I want to say. It's not what you want to say. We want to learn to listen. What does God want to say? I think it's one of the... I had a man came to our church 3 weeks before we left Kingston. He came in to see a doctor, and he had 2 hours before the appointment. And he came, he was a principal of the Jose Marti Secondary Technical School. And he says, "I believe that Friends ought to be the largest denomination in the world." He said, "You've got the best message." Said, "Your history is fabulous." And he says, "I don't understand why you're not growing. Why are you not the biggest denomination?" Because the early Quakers knew how to listen to God. You know something? I want to say this to you as friends this morning. People in the world have a better opinion of us than we have of ourselves. Do you know that? Friends have a great... People respect them around the world because of the positions that they have. And this morning, I had the chance to write a check to the man who had the largest Baptist church in the world. His name was Jack Hiles in Hammond, Indiana. He was speaking at the Iowa Sunday School Convention. And I was a treasurer, so I had to write his check. And before I gave him the check, I said, "Jack, what would you be if you weren't a Baptist?" He said, "I'd be ashamed." And you see, I think sometimes we need to stand. Listen, when our young people got saved in Jamaica, this is what I would have them say. "I am a saved, born again, Bible believing Quaker." Hallelujah. Amen. Get excited. My friend, I'm a Bible-believing, born-again Quaker. Listen, I'm not ashamed of it. And you know the Bible says I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is what? The power of God and the salvation. So if you're going to walk with God, you've got to walk in what? His?
Hello, Pastor Wolfley. I'm listening to you. It's the same direction. Oh, thank you. If you're going to walk with God, you've got to walk in the same direction. Now, it's another thing. If you're going to walk with somebody, you've got to walk at the same pace. How did you like to walk to school with somebody, and they're walking up there, and you're staying back here? You've got to go at the same pace if you're going to walk with somebody. My dear wife, bless her heart, when we were in college, and I'd preach on a Sunday night, and... I wouldn't stop giving the altar call to somebody got saved. And sometimes it takes a while to get people shaken, you know, to get loose. But I never preached to somebody that didn't get saved. And so, man, I'd just be flying high. And I had these long legs, and I used to be able to walk pretty fast. And she's a little short thing, you know. And she says, "Slow down." Slow down. You see, we want to go at our own pace. God says sometimes, just slow down. Take time, and walk with Him. You see, we're used to the age of instant. Everything has to be done now. We want it done quickly. Listen, you know your corn is going to take so much time to grow. You can pout, you can carry on, you can complain. You lose your crop five times a year and you still end up getting a crop. But you see, we're impatient. God says, just relax. I love Jamaica. It says, soon come. what time are you going to be there? 10-ish. 10-ish. That means anywhere from 10 to 10:59. It's still 10-ish. And, you know, if you don't get it done today, we'll get it done tomorrow. And if tomorrow doesn't come, it wasn't going to do a whole lot of good if we got it done today. You see, we've got to learn to walk with God at His pace. Sometimes, you see, our prayers take time. I'll never forget reading Watchman Nee, that great Chinese Christian who was put in prison for his faith. And they didn't feed him. They didn't give him water. But Watchman Nee never lost weight. And he never became dehydrated because God was sustaining him. You ever remember a prophet that was fed by the ravens? You see, God said, I'll supply all your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ. If you'll take time and give him a chance and you'll walk with him, he'll take care of you. Now, I'm not here to raise money this morning. But let me tell you something. In 1979, God spoke to two pastors in Des Moines and said, get out of debt. Don't owe anybody anything. And my wife and I made sure that we were out of debt. And then in 1980, he said, she was in Dayton, Ohio. She was national director of the women of the organization for 13 years. And while she was there, she was in chairman of the National Association of Evangelical Commission for Women, 4 million women. And she was at a meeting with her ladies, and she says, ladies, I got to tell you something. Pray for me, because I've got to go home and share with my husband that we're to resign our church and live by faith for a year. Well, I'm in Des Moines. I'm with a friend of mine, and I helped him do some things once in a while, and I said, Dean, I'm not going to be able to help you anymore. Because I don't know where we're going. God just directed me that we're supposed to resign and live by faith for a year. She got off the plane. She says, Eugene, there's something I got to tell you. I said, well, let's go to the coffee shop. I've got to tell you something too. And I said, Francis, God just spoke to me this weekend that while you were gone, that we're to resign our church and live by faith for a year. She began to cry. Oh, he told me the same thing. And we did. Didn't have a place to live. Didn't have any health insurance. Didn't have any salary. Didn't have any car allowance. But we were deliciously happy. Because he said, I'll supply all your needs according to your riches in Christ Jesus. And we get home. We get home, go up to the door, and there's a bag of groceries at the door. Someone just send us a bag of groceries. And God says, this is a token. This is a token of what I'm going to do for you the rest of your life. And we were called to Eddie Klein. Any of you know Eddie Klein? He was the director of Christian Service International. This opportunity to go to Jamaica came up. He said, well, you know, we'd like you to come as the director, host of this mission house where 500-600 people come a year, and the college students and churches come and hold vacation Bible schools and build houses, and we'd like you to be the host and hostess. He said, but you know, you'll have to raise your own support. I said, praise the Lord. I said, all my life I've given to others, and God said this was my time to reap. As farmers, you know this pretty good, don't you? What you sow, you reap. And so You know, when missionaries go on the field, it usually takes a year, year and a half to go church to church to church to church and raise support. Well, we were pastoring a church, and I didn't have time to go church to church to church to church. I said, Lord, if you want us to go, you said you'd supply the need, and I'm going to trust you. So we sent out one letter, and people got it on April the 15th. Isn't that a great time to raise money? In 6 weeks' time, we had all our upfront money we had to raise for a car and for insurance and for the airplane tickets and everything. And we had everything, and then you have to have 80% of your monthly support. Everything came in 6 weeks' time. And people promised to serve, to share with us, not promise, but it's faith, you know. If the Lord gave it to them, they'd help us for 3 years. Well, we stayed nine. 9 years! Never lost a supporter, except that a couple died. Some of you know Kenny Poland used to be at Fairfield. He was at Grinnell. And, you know, something like that. Somebody died, well, then somebody else would just automatically come in. We met some people for 1 week in their life, and they started, while they were there in Jamaica, we saw them 1 week in their life, and they supported us for the rest of the time. And we left there, and we've still, even last month, even though we're gone, people say, well, you need something to get started back in America. We haven't asked for anything. But God says, you walk with my pace. Walk with me, and he says, I'll take care of you. How many of you believe that? You know, it's one thing to think, yeah, that's okay, but then to do it's another thing. The Bible says, be ye doers of the word, and not what? Hearers only. Do it! Walk in his direction. Walk in his pace. But now here's another thing. One of the hardest things for us as Americans. If you're going to walk with somebody very long, you've got to be a good listener. Because if you're going to do all the talking all the time, they're going to find somebody else to walk with. How many know that's true? And so you have to learn to listen. And that's, we've already really well covered that. But God wants us to learn to listen. I can only share with you this morning out of my heart. I am not afraid to do anything that God tells me to do. And the Bible says, for by faith, what is faith? Who can quote to me the verse of Scripture about what is faith? Faith is the hope for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith. How many know the verse of Scripture, Galatians 2:20? I try to get people, if you want to learn a verse of Scripture, I challenge you. Learn Galatians 2:20 one word at a time until it gets into your very being. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. You see, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, for by grace are you saved through what? Faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. So he says you've got to have faith. Now, but I'm going to give you the faith that you need to be saved. And then after you get saved, it isn't your faith at all that you have to live by. You live by my faith. Do you understand that? Do you have that in your heart? To me, it's just like breathing. Now, how many of you have been sitting here this morning and say, breathe. 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 No, you just what? You just breathe. And that's the way it is. When you allow Him to direct your path, you walk in His direction, you walk in His pace, and you listen. You don't have to struggle to be a Christian. Just let Him be God. Just live by the faith of the Son of God. Say, He's got all the faith that you'll ever need. So just believe that He's going to take care of me. You see, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. There's nothing that you could ask of God that He's not capable of taking care of. I remember when I first came to Bangor. I got a plat book. And I knew everybody in a district for about 10 or 15 miles around. I knew who they were. I knew how many kids they had in their house. And I went to every door. I went to every door in this community. Boy, I'll tell you one time. So I didn't know what I was going to get into when I went to certain doors. I said, oh, God, don't let anything be behind that door that you and I can't handle together, and you do most of the handling. Now, I'm not being rude this morning, but I'm not going to tell you exactly where it was, but it was down the road here, and there was a farmhouse, and I knocked on the door. Ooh, I wasn't old like I am now. I was young. Prettiest woman came to the door. Little old halter and shorty shorts. I said, good morning. I'm Pastor Wolfley. My wife and I'll come back to see you later. But you see, I just believe God could do anything. I'm going to tell you two stories and I'm going to quit. I'm doing pretty good. We came at the 1st of September. We're coming down Highway 30. Had a little six-week-old baby in the car. I had 1,467 pounds in this 1954 Ford. That's all the belongings we had. Because we weighed the car at Lloyd Davis's scale. Loaded, and came and unloaded it and weighed the car, and it was 1,467 pounds difference. Anyway, we saw this sign, Lloyd's Restaurant. Man, we were hungry, so we were going to stop at Lloyd's Restaurant. Got there, it was Monday, it closed. Oh, well, we'll get something in State Center. We go to State Center, and well, we didn't see nothing to worth eating in State Center. Maybe now it's different. Well, we'll go to Clemens. Well, we got to Clemens, and I'd been riding a long time, and I really need to go to the bathroom. So I said, good afternoon. Could I have the key to your bathroom? Oh, he said, I don't think you'll need a key. He said, you just walk down that path over there. There's a... Well, then I came in and I said, well, may I borrow your phone? I need to call Lloyd Davis. He said, yeah, there it is on the wall. Well, I said, what's a... There wasn't any... It was a... I said, sir, I said, I don't know how to use this thing. Whatever he did, you know. So and then I thought, well, we'll go and so... We went, I don't know what, how many, maybe a block or two from that service station, and we hit gravel road. I thought, what in the world am I taking my family into? So we get to Lloyd's, and it was hot. And this guy drives up on a tractor and crew cut, big guy. And had, you know, Lloyd had a real fine voice, real soft, fine voice. You remember? And I thought this guy that I heard on the telephone must be some little pipsqueak, you know. And I see this giant up there. And the first thing he said to me, he said, you want to draw a new picture of me? Well, then a guy comes up and looks like Mr. Clean. It was Don. And so come to find out, well, you can't come to the parsonage. The pastor didn't think he wanted to leave. Now, some of you don't remember all this, but the pastor was still in the parsonage. And so we said, well, you're going to spend the night with another family in the church. And they took us to Mary, to the Glennies. And the first thing, because you know, she was a pretty big lady. And she said, boy, I said, you think you're coming to the land of giants? Then come to find out they were real close friends of the pastor and really didn't want him to leave. And here come this young couple in there with a little baby. I said, brother, what have we got ourselves into? But they had they had a picture similar to the one you have on the bulletin board of the church. All the people in the church. As God is my judge, they would tell me, this is family, this is a family, this is a family. And Sunday morning when people walked in the church, I could call everybody by name. I didn't have any system. I had no system. But I could call everybody by name. And you know, that helped me as a young pastor. But then we came and they were supposed to be, you ever remember rally day? Some of you older people used to have rally days. Rally the church back together after summer school and after the vacations and everything. You'd have a big push for Sunday school to rally the people back. Well, I said, listen, I've just got here. Let's do it in October. Give me a chance to get, you know, on my feet. Well, I went to Des Moines to a national Sunday school convention, and I got all kind of ideas. Do any of you remember a little penny? We sent out a letter with a penny to every family in the church. I knew if you had five members of your family, I'd gone to the bank in Union and I got brand new copper pennies. And if you had five members in your family, I taped five pennies into your little letter. And the letter was, I'm lost and I need to be at Bangor Friends Church at 9 o'clock Sunday morning. And the only way I'm going to get there is if you bring me. And I sent this to everybody around the community. I knew where they had me. And the church was averaging, I think, about 60, 50 or 60 when I came. And I set a goal for 120. People thought I was absolutely a Looney Tune. But Marcia Davis and Sheila Settle got on bicycles, and they went around, and I sent this letter out. And Sunday morning, we had 149 people in this church. And Bessina said, let him go. Just let him go. And Shirley said, if you're going to come here to church, you got to wear tennis shoes because he's on the run all the time. But I didn't take very good care of my wife and kids because I was at every basketball game, every football game. I was everywhere where their kids were. And I was always visiting people night and day. But you know what? God says, son, listen to me and I'll direct your path. And from that, God has taken us around the world. Never had anything. We've traveled in countries all over the world preaching the gospel. And today, as I stand before you, we don't owe anybody one penny. You remember Hendershot was here? He taught me a lesson. Every month I paid myself car payments. When I bought my car, I paid the Chevrolet people cash for my car. Paid cash for my furniture. Anything I get, I pay cash for. Because God says, he'll supply all my needs. And you know how that happened? Because I learned to give to God. I'm not here to preach the message on tithing. My time's gone. But I'll tell you, tithing will pay you dividends. You know that? It's a principle. It's absolutely a principle. Given it shall be given unto you, good measure, shaken, pressed down, running over. I didn't know what that meant till I went to Jamaica. Went to a little shop. Everywhere has a little shop. I was going to get some flour for my wife. And they had this little bag, and They put the flour in the bag. And, well, I said, that's not 2 pounds. She said, Pastor, me no done yet. She took the bag and she popped it down and she popped it and popped it down. She put some more flour in and she popped it down. And she weighed 2 pounds. You see, good measure, shaken, pressed down. God is a God if you'll let him. You see, Enoch was translated because Enoch walked with God. This morning, you're here. You're in the house of God. But when you leave tomorrow, are you going to walk with him? You see, allow him to walk with you. Go in his direction. Walk the same pace he does and listen to him. And you'll have a life that'll be deliciously wonderful. Amen? Praise God. Just remember the good things God hath done, things that seem impossible. Oh, praise him for the victories we have won, for we've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He's never failed me yet. Oh, oh, I won't turn back. I've come this far by faith. Will you stand with me this morning? Father, may the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We thank you that your word will not return void, but your word will accomplish its purpose. I would ask you this morning to touch the members of this congregation, some who have come with a heavy heart, some who may share something in their heart that they haven't told anyone else about. But Father, you're able to meet their need. You said even before we call upon you, you will answer. You know the very depths of our spirit. And we ask you to touch each individual family that's here this morning. Perhaps there's someone here that has a son or a daughter or a loved one that they're concerned about. Father, you said believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we should be saved and our household. We believe in the household of faith prayer that, Father, you said you'll give us the very desires of our heart. And some of our friends' needs and our family needs will be met not because they want it, but because we want it. If there's someone here this morning that's struggling with something in their life, may they surrender to you today. And by a new and living act of faith, saying, oh God, I'm going to start walking in your direction. I'm going to start walking with your pace, and I'm going to listen to you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I just simply ask you a question. Is there one, someone here who says, Pastor, I know that I need to make a decision to walk closer to the Lord. Would you just raise your hand and put it down quickly? Don't be embarrassed. Yes, I see that hand. You see, God is more willing to give than we are even to receive. And, you know, we're in the house of God where people love him, love one another. And I wonder if there's anyone here this morning who says, Brother Wolfley, I just need a touch of God this morning. Maybe there's some physical need that you have, some emotional need. We're not going to drag this out. But will you just take a minute of faith and just come to, and walk down here with me and let Francis and I just say a simple prayer. Just believe God for something good in your life. We're going to sing one verse of Amazing Grace. And while we sing this verse, we'll sing two, the first and then the last, when we've been there 10,000 years. And if you just feel like that you'd like to get closer and you just say, Lord, I just want to say, yes, I'm going to walk with you. Just come and let us have a word of prayer with you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like man. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. You can start us on the right pitch now. And we've been there. Just come and stand with me just for a moment. Exercise faith in the Lord. If you raise your hand, just come. We're not going to embarrass anyone. We're here in the house of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus. To sing God's praise than when we first begun.